Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. What a fitting opening for where we are. We are at the Charlotte Auto Show at the Convention Center. And if you are of a mind to at some point in the next 2 hours and 55 minutes, you want to come by and say hello, we're going to be here broadcasting live. We are broadcasting live from the Kia, sort of the Kia demonstration area here, where we've got a bunch of Kias lined up in front of us. We've got Fords, we've got Kias, we've got luxury vehicles, we've got trucks, we've got vans, we've got Jeeps, you name it, it is here, plus a whole big array of EVs as well. Phenomenal to be here with you. Our phone number, as always, is 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, to be a part of the conversation. And no doubt you've been following very closely what's going on in Kenosha today. Big reveal coming out in just these last hours as the judge, Judge Schroeder, came out and said effectively they intercepted somebody last night who looked like they were going to be up to no good. They were apparently attempting to photograph the jurors coming from the courthouse to wherever they were delivering them on the bus. And the way they caught him, which is so interesting because this is how they'll usually stop either like terrorist attacks or someone who's intent on going out and doing a mass casualty shooting thing or something. You'll run a red light. You'll do something suspicious. The cops will light you up. In this case, the bus went through the intersection and the light went red, and this person went and followed the bus through the red light and was spotted by a police officer who then pulled him over. And we found out during the court proceedings today in the late 12 o'clock, early 1 o'clock hour that this was an individual that was allegedly, according to the individual, commissioned by no less than NBC News, MSNBC specifically, to go and try to get these pictures, is what he said. And as a consequence, during the trial proceedings earlier today, we heard that Judge Schroeder say, we're bouncing MSNBC and NBC News out of this until we can get to the bottom of this and find out what it is that's going on. To his credit, you know, he didn't just blow him up and say you're banned for good. He did make it abundantly clear that you're out for today until we figure out what this is all about. We want an explanation. We want to know what you think you were doing there. Because the reality is, no matter where you come down on this, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this at 704-570-1110, no matter where you come down on this, the fact of the matter is, these jurors are just regular citizens who have been called in to do a very difficult job. I've been on a murder trial jury in the past. I did it in New York City in the Bronx in the 90s, and it is a hard thing to do because every day you're in that courtroom and you're seeing not just the victim's families, but you're seeing the alleged perpetrator's family. You get very nervous when you go to leave the proceedings at the end of the day because, you know, you don't know who's going to try to influence you or come upon you and say something to you. And it's nerve-wracking. It's a nerve-wracking thing. And we have to remember, these are just our fellow citizens that are doing this job. Now admittedly, there are people who will try to get called for jury, or will get called for jury duty. They'll try to get on a particular trial. They're either bored, they're thrill seekers. In a high-profile trial like this, I can imagine there are people who do want to get on the jury for whatever reason, have a good story to tell down the road. But by and large, most people try to really avoid jury service. I mean, let's be honest, you get summoned and you're like, oh, I got to miss work, I got to miss the kids' soccer practice, I'm going out of town, whatever it is. And it's a frustrating thing. And what I would like to do, and we're going to talk about the auto show here extensively. This is a full conversation hitting everything that's big that's moving out there today, including inflation, including the other elements of the story. But one of the things that I'd be curious to hear from, because we have such a vast and diverse audience. I know we have people who have worked as prosecutors who may be in private practice or may still be prosecutors. I know that we have people in this audience who are attorneys, defense attorneys, what have you, and even jurors as well. People who have experienced these sorts of things, kind of curious to get your point of view on this, because I think it's an incredibly relevant conversation. so often when you think of these high-profile cases that are out there, O.J. Simpson, you know, Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn, you know, whoever, what you find yourself doing when you look at these stories is you think of these people, these jurors, as like the jury. Well, the jury is a librarian, sales guy, a retired, you know, retired plumber, a house, you know, somebody who's a house husband, a housewife, a college student. I mean, they're just kind of thrown into the pick because they just they select you. They tell you to come in on the third Tuesday of the month and sit in the room and drink disgusting coffee and watch daytime TV. In many ways, you know, it's similar to what reporters have to do when they're covering like Congress. You know, just basically sitting around drinking coffee, watching daytime TV, hoping that, you know, Paul Gosar makes a video or something. I don't know. But it's really an incredible thing to watch unfold. And, you know, my hope, my sincere hope, I don't want any drama. Just in general, I think let the trial happen, let the results happen, and then let's figure out, you know, moving forward from there. I don't want to see any more damage done. Lord knows, as I said yesterday, it's hard enough to get plywood and 2x4s and things that you're going to need to rebuild under perfect circumstances, especially with the supply chain crunch as well. One of the other stories that's out there moving, you know, the poll numbers keep coming out, and the poll numbers are not looking good for the president of the United States. President Biden's numbers, what was he a couple days ago? He was 38%, something like that. Now they're saying 36%. Approval among registered voters. Biden gets a negative vote, 38 positive, 53 negative job approval rating. 9% are not offering an opinion. Listen, during elections, I get very concerned about the I have no opinion people. In this case, if you have no opinion, great, don't weigh in. That's totally fine. On four separate issues, he receives his lowest grades so far on each of them. And here's what they are. The response to the coronavirus, he's got a 45% approval rating, 50% disapprove. I know that's 95%, but you have people who are undecided in that regard. Climate change, 41% approve, 48% disapprove. The economy, 34% approve, 59% disapprove. And then foreign policy, 33% approve, 55% disapprove. And so there are a lot of questions out there. What does this mean? What's going to happen? Michael Beschloss was talking with an MSNBC host, Joy Reid, was talking about this with Michael Beschloss, who's a, you know, very famous presidential historian. And he says he doesn't think the damage is as severe as it appears because you still have a year to the election. And there's a lot of stuff that can change and happen. What he's building into that is there's also a lot of things that can go.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
South as well. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. No, we're not on Hollywood Boulevard, but we could be. That's Shotgun Messiah. People always ask me, who is that? That's Shotgun Messiah. Hollywood Boulevard. No, we are live and having a great time at the Charlotte Auto Show here at the Convention Center. We've got a bunch of people looking at some incredible vehicles. Absolutely worth your time and energy to come over here. And we're going to be broadcasting live from now until 6 p.m. So if you are in the neighborhood, if you are in the facility, come by, say hello. You can meet the world famous TJ's here with me. TJ, who is the world famous producer of John Hancock's program and my program, and he does so much on the station that it's good to have you here, TJ. It's good, really good to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
You know,
it's like
a
field trip.
It is like a field trip, right? 100%, it's like a field trip. What's incredible is I look at these cars, and I'm excited by all this technology. But the thing is, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been a manual reader when you get the car?
Absolutely not. Never.
Good, me
not
too.
Not even once.
Me too. Me too. And then you think you can fix what it is, and it turns out you got to push the two buttons on the radio and hit the horn at the same time, and you can just reset everything, and you've spent an entire weekend not knowing how to do it.
I just bought a new car instead.
You did that instead, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, listen, this thing's got to go.
Yeah.
It's obviously unfixable.
Throw this one in the ditch.
And that's it. No, you don't throw it.
Oh.
No, you 877 Cars for Kids.
Oh,
that's
beautiful.
That's where you go.
Beautiful.
But no, it's very cool here, and we've got amazing. All of our sister stations are here, broadcasting. FNZ's here. Best Mixes here. I mean, we've got great people. So come by, say hello to all the air staff that is assembled here on the program. Let me give you this clip real quick. This is Joe Biden last night in Detroit. Remember, we were commenting about him being in Detroit at like 5:30 at night giving a speech. You may think that all the cars come out of Detroit that are sold in America or come out of Korea or Europe or Japan or those places. Do you know that they actually come from the president? Here, give me cut number four there, my friend.
With this infrastructure law, along with my Build Back Better plan, we're going to kickstart new batteries, materials, and parts production and recycling, boosting the manufacturing of clean vehicles with new loans and new tax credits, creating new purchase incentives for consumers to buy American-made, union-made clean vehicles.
That's huge. That's huge. But see, here's the thing, though. I just wish he would have gone just two steps further and said, the manufacturers are innovating. The innovation from these engineers and the private sector. There has to be a balance struck between who gets the credit, the politicians, or the people who with the inspiration to create new products. That's what I always wonder about. What do you say? I mentioned people wanting to weigh in on this jury trial taking place in Kenosha. Steve is joining us next up. Steve, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir? Steve, are we there? Steve?
Understood that when you were an alternate juror, mm-hmm. you were just kind of sitting off to the side, and you were just there in case they needed you. So all of a sudden, here at the end of this trial, they put all these names in a bucket, mm-hmm. and the defendant pulls them out. Mm-hmm. If you were an alternate and kind of been sitting there not really paying attention, you might find yourself in a world of hurt, huh?
Well, you would think that, except I don't think you did not know you were an alternate until they scrap you. You see what I'm saying? So there were 18.
Oh,
so
okay.
For this trial,
so they actually had like 18.
18. They had 18. And so what happens when he goes and picks those out? They eliminated six, but those six didn't necessarily go home. They kept them as alternates, or some number of them were kept as alternates. So everybody
right.
heard
okay.
the entire
well,
case.
Sitting there
yeah.
thinking there might be somebody in that jury room going, "Boy, I wish I'd have paid more attention."
No. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a very fair observation because you certainly want to make sure they're paying attention. But I think that's why you don't tell them up front. Because if you're like, "Hey, I'm the fourth string quarterback, man. I'm not even going to read the playbook. You know, I'm totally
oh,
good."
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm not even going to put my shoes on.
That's it. In fact, I'm going out the night before the game too. How about that? I appreciate you being out there, Steve.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, my friend. We're remote and it dropped, and that was, I'll take the caller on that one.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'm sorry. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. No place I'd rather be than with you right here, right now. And we are live at the Charlotte Auto Show at the Convention Center, and a lot of great people coming by and saying hello. Do us a favor if you're nearby, if you're in the house, if you're pulling in, come by and say hello. We are going to be here until 6 o'clock. And at that point, we'll have Charlotte at 6 happening. It's going to be great. You'll get the updates from Mark Garrison. I do know that Brett Jensen is attending the press conference that's happening over there with the Panthers. He's getting some time with Cam Newton. Obviously, you got a huge game coming up this weekend. here against the Washington football team, and that's going to be really, really quite something. My understanding, we was talking about this with Boomer yesterday, man, it is very, 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 very difficult to lay your hands on that ticket. That is like a ticket for a massive prize fight, and you definitely, if you can get one of those, it's going to be a special day, no doubt, to see that, not just that homecoming, but that homecoming sort of times two. And like, don't forget that the GM is Marty Herney, and he's over at Washington now too. So it's going to be like a combo right there. But we continue to take a close look at what it is that's going on here in terms of the politics of the day. So you know the Build Back Better plan is under consideration there at the Congress. And I wanted to play this clip, Josh, if we can effort this one out real quick. Karl Rove, it's going to be cut number 40. He was talking this morning over on the Fox News Channel to Martha McCallum and Bill Hemmer. And, you know, he made a very good observation, I think, about what it is that's happening with this Build Back Better bill. It is not being considered in a conventional way. Far, far from it. Go ahead, fire it up there, Josh.
Well, look, first of all, this has not been done in the normal process. We've not taken this measure through committees. We have not had votes. We've not discussed it. We've not looked at it. It's a rush, 2,185-page document, and we're rushing to get it through the House without even a CBO score. And even if we get the CBO score, we know this. The bill is filled with gimmicks. It has 10 years of revenue to pay for programs that are sunsetted after 3 years, 5 years, or 6 years, which, of course, is never going to happen. These programs are designed to be permanent. So right from the beginning, it's based on a big lie. We got 10 years of revenue and less than 10 years of activity, and somehow or another, this is not going to cost us any money or add to the deficit. Baloney.
Now, that's just crazy. So we're going to fund it for 10 years, but the thing's only going to be in effect for 3 years. So what are we going to do? We're going to front load all that money into a three-year window? That's crazy. That's crazy. I talked about this at my conversation that I had with the college kids a couple of days ago. And I used a term for this, and they got offended. They got terribly offended by this term. I said, do you know what this bill's got inside of it? Is landmines. Landmines. And I said, it's got landmines in it because it's designed to create chaos in the years down the road. That's what you're going to end up happening. And they got upset. They said, that is disrespectful to people who are in who are in war-torn places. And I'm saying, listen, for real, there is so much you could be offended by. We're not going to use hypotheticals and different sorts of examples as something to get offended by. Landmines, it's a political landmine is what it is. Because the way this is going to work, if you pass this bill as written, I'm just telling you from the strategy here, they're going to dare you to kill it. They're going to say, hey, we're giving $40 billion to take care of children in the schools. What do you mean you don't want to fund that program, Senator Foghorn Leghorn? We're going to make your life miserable. You better extend it. I mean, did we learn nothing from Kyrsten Sinema being followed into a ladies' room by 40 concerned college kids? Did we learn nothing? Did we learn nothing from Senator Manchin, whose Maserati does 185 right to his houseboat? I mean, we learned a lot from this. They will deploy pressure against these politicians. And so that's the whole point. It's like, hey, we're just going to score it for 3 years. We'll fund it for 10. And then you know what there, Kevin McCarthy? You just go ahead and kill that off. And we'll be happy to have all the videos of you getting on and off the airplane, getting harassed and harangued by people. So I capitulated. And I know you're going to be a little disappointed. I capitulated. I said, okay, I'll take a landmine off the table. And I don't want to put a landmine on the table. It would be very terrible. So I'll take a landmine off the table. I said, what we're going to do is it's a poison pill. It's a poison pill. And somebody, some wise, one of them, they were very wise, shouted from the back, couldn't see who it was, said, that's also frightening. And I said, that's the point. That's the point. You're trying to scare these politicians into going your way. Now, the question becomes, will the conservatives say, we're not playing this game with the way you're scoring this thing? And on top of that, what are you starting to hear? You're starting to hear from these lower-level people that are deputy press secretary to the deputy press secretary of whatever. And they're coming out and they're saying, we have absolutely no idea how the CBO is going to score all the money we're going to save. if you mean by saving money, how are they scoring that? And that's what they're saying. That's sort of the argument that's going on here. And the problem with this way of making a law, creating a law, because that's what we're talking about doing. We're not talking about making a policy. We're talking about making a law. The problem with this is that's why you go through the committees, so that you can go line by line by line and see this is right, this is wrong, this is no good, etc. They didn't do any of that stuff. They just wrote it and threw it into the pond, into the pool, and now we just got to kind of figure out whether or not we want it. Well, you tell me if you want it. You tell me if you want the triple B. You know what? I don't, and I can defend the position.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Can you? News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It's the Brett Winterble Show here at the Charlotte Auto Show. I am thrilled to be here. I got TJ here. We've got Gentleman Josh back behind the board at headquarters, TJ. And he's been asking me to describe the cars to him as we're sitting here. So what I'm going to do is, at this next break, I'm going to take some pictures and put them up on Twitter and Facebook just to kind of show people, you know, what the setup is here, because I think that's a good thing. That's interactivity.
Don't know how to find us then.
They will know. That's right. That's correct. 704-570-1110. I want to grab a couple calls. People want to weigh in on the trial stuff and a couple of the political things that are happening right now. Let's go to my very good friend, Terry. You know, Terry was the very first person in Charlotte I ever talked to when I was doing fill-ins once upon a time. Terry, how are you? What's on your mind?
I'm tell TJ I said hello. Long time no speak to you.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Brett. thanks, as always, for taking my call. I just have a real short comment, and I'll hang up. MSNBC should be ashamed of themselves for doing what they did as far as the correspondent or the camera person trying to find out where the jury was staying,
yep.
You know, with their free time or whatever. MSNBC would have broadcast where they were staying, and the protesters would have congregated outside that place, and it could sway their minds for fear or persuasion. So the judge was right for his decision. And I may be wrong, and I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
No, I think you're right on. I think you're 100% right on. You can have whatever opinion you want to have about Rittenhouse. You can have whatever opinion you want to have about the people that were shot, people that were rioting, protesting. You can have whatever opinion you want about people who are protesting there now. But the true innocent people in this are the jurors, because they got scooped up and asked to do something. And thank God we have people who, when asked to do this, do take it on. I mean, it's a hassle. I can tell you that I was on a murder trial, and I think our murder trial went 6 weeks, because it wasn't every day. It's not like one of these high-profile trials. We'd have like 3 days on, 2 days off, come back the next week. I mean, it took a long time. Ultimately, we did convict the person. It was a gang beef, and the guy decided he was going to go down to the corner and shoot a rival gang member. And the person he ended up shooting was just a guy getting pizza for him, for his kids and his family, and he killed the guy. And the gang member that he thought he was shooting at wasn't even the guy. So, I mean, it was a terrible, terrible situation all the way around, but that's what ended up happening. And, you know, I was just a person that got asked to go to the courthouse and sit on the jury, and I did it. So I think we have to treat the jurors with a great deal of respect, because that is not a job anybody would want. Let's go to Steve next up. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett, how you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you so much. I want to kind of piggyback on the last caller.
Sure.
You know, the jury, I mean, this is such in any trial, serving on jury duty is tough, but in a murder trial, you have so many different options that they have as far as, you know, convictions and levels, and each one of them has its own standard, and then each juror has, it's very subjective, and then you add self-defense into the mix, you know, where you have to establish I mean, literally, each juror has to put themselves and look at the evidence and evaluate it based on the standard and say, all right, what was Rittenhouse's intent? You know, which is, I mean, you know, almost a superhuman thing. I mean, you know, you don't really know what's in the man's mind.
It's true, honestly. It's true.
And then you add all the publicity and all the pressure from the outside, and then MSNBC pulling this stunt. I mean, these people are under a tremendous amount of pressure.
They are. They sure are.
And it's a difficult job. I mean, I've served on three, never on a murder trial, one criminal, two civil. And if you take it seriously, which you should, since it's a civic duty of every U.S. citizen, if you take it seriously, it's stressful because you understand, I mean, you understand just exactly what kind of decision you're making and the impacts you're going to have.
That's right. That's right.
But these people, you know, I my hat's off to them. I mean, that they were willing to serve without trying to get out of it.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll tell you, one of the other things that I kind of look at and I think about with this is the fact that it's amazing that more people don't choose to try to take a bench trial instead of getting in front of a jury, because, you know, you can make much more sophisticated arguments in front of a judge, and you know, you can cut it a lot closer to the quick. But it's a tough situation, and these people are going to be damned if they do and damned if they don't. And what I worry about is at the termination of all this, you're going to end up having these folks, their lives are going to be gone through, and you know, people are going to be harassing them, and it's a no-win situation all the way around. All right, that's going to do it for us this hour. We've got another great hour coming up in a matter of moments. We'll be joined at 4:05 by Breaking Brett Jensen. He was over there with the Panthers, and he's going to share with us his experiences with Cam talking to the press, and we're taking your phone calls. We are live here at the Charlotte Auto Show on News Talk 1110 99.3.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
WBT. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Good to be here with you. What is a Brett Winterbull Show without Brett Jensen? It's not complete. That's why we're going to wing our way over to Breaking Brett Jensen, who joins us now to hook up with us. Brett Jensen, I understand you are over on CamWatch 2021 today, going over there to the Panthers and finding out the big plan for coming up this weekend. What's going on? Tell us about it.
Yeah, just finished with him. He came in at about, I don't know, 3:30 or just, you know, thereabouts, maybe just a little bit before 3:30, and spoke for about 15-16 minutes. A lot of questions were asked about Ron Rivera and all that, but he started it by saying, look, I'm giving away 50 tickets because, you know, I want to have a bigger impact to bring the community together and the city together like I didn't do before, so I want to try and bring everyone together. So I'm giving away 50 tickets to people through programs and whatnot, to people who've never been to a Panthers game or maybe only been to one Panthers game ever. And so trying to do that, then he started taking some shots at the crowd, because the crowd's been an issue this year. You know, like the Philadelphia game, it was, you know, 30-40% Philadelphia fans. Same thing with New England. And so he said, this way, at least I'll know there'll be at least 50 people in the stands cheering for us. I was like, that's pretty funny.
That's awesome. Let me, in terms of his demeanor, in terms of his energy and stuff like that, I mean, obviously you come off of this enormous high there in Glendale, Arizona, you know, just a few days ago, a remarkable performance. You know, you covered him for a long time here in town, and you've watched him also on the national stage and in away games. What's he like? Is he like he always was when you covered him here in the past? Does he seem particularly jazzed and excited for this face-off with Ron Rivera?
So he's acting a little bit differently. For lack of a better term, I'm going to use the term mature. He's acting more mature. It's, you know, it's not a whole look at me, it's about me, you know. He, you know, even though on Sunday against Arizona, he started screaming, I'm back, and then proceeded to get penalized for that because he took his helmet off. But they showed up with a T-shirt today of him yelling, "I'm back," and he crossed out the word "I'm" and put in the word "we." And it showed a picture of him screaming it when he was on TV. But so, you know, he's more conscious and more, you know, with his, you know, in terms of what he says. And but here's the difference. I mean, you can be more mature and have all the great, you know, thoughts that you want to have. Doesn't help you throw a ball any better. Yeah. And so it really is going to boil down to, you know, is he, you know, because the whole time he was here, he was always in the lower half of passing percentage and passing completions because he's never been an accurate passer. So we'll see if that has changed, if he's gotten better, if he's still the same old Cam. Like, it's just in what kind of offense that Joe Brady has masterminded for him along with, you know, Matt Rhule. So that, we know, we won't be able to answer that for a few, you know, at least 2-3 more games. You can't use just one game coming up against Washington. In terms of Ron Rivera, he wouldn't talk about it. He's just like, look, this isn't about me. It's not about Ron Rivera. It's 53 men on each team, and it's not a me versus him. And Ron Rivera knows how I feel about him, and, you know, it's not about us. It's about the two teams. And so he really wouldn't go into detail about the two, about him and his relationship with Ron or anything like that. He just tried to keep everything about the Carolina Panthers.
Let me ask you this: in terms of the impact, the broader impact on the team, right? I mean, you've mm-hmm. seen certainly the defense was absolutely on fire on Sunday. What about that? What about that intangible effect on the team with him coming back, with CMC and you know, the rest of the guys? What's the practical effect there that you've picked up on?
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing: like, he does bring an extra, for lack of a term, and we kept hearing this all last week, energy to the locker room. Now, you know, the question is, will it translate onto on the field? Because, you know, last week was not a good judgment on energy because, again, I mean, when you had two of the top 10 players for Arizona, they're two of the top 10 players in the entire NFL, maybe even the MVP this year, Kyler Murray, being out, and they're having to use a backup, a quarterback, and the number one wide receiver, you know, Nick Hopkins, he's out. You know, he was out. So, you know, it's kind of hard to tell exactly where Carolina is and what it really meant, although the defense has played great and they've primarily played really well all year long. I think it's the second-ranked defense in the NFL right now. So, but we'll see. Again, you can't use last week or even this week, you know, as a measuring stick. You need a few games. You know, and this week is against Washington, who has struggled this year. Next week's against Miami, who has struggled this year. So, but we'll be able to get a better sense of what this means offensively because the offense has struggled against everybody. It doesn't matter if it was the New York Jets or who they're playing. The offense has struggled all year. And so that will, you'll be able to tell, all right, what does this mean offensively with Cam being on the field, or does it still mean they're going to struggle to score 20 points?
Do you think we're going to see split duties like we saw last week? Do you think we're going to see split duties coming up this week?
I would be a little surprised. You know, Cam's been taking the first team reps all week, and you know, I would be a little surprised by that, to be perfectly honest with you. He's fully expected to start, which he will, and you know, I don't know a scenario where you think to yourself, okay, you know what, we're probably better off putting in P.J. Walker of the XFL fame, and you know, and not having Cam Newton on the field. So I would be a little surprised if that were the case, to be perfectly honest with you. I just don't see them benching Cam Newton for any particular reason. I mean, I really don't.
All right, let's talk one final thing here. You mentioned Ron Rivera. We've mentioned PJ. We've mentioned the defense. There's a name that hasn't come up yet, and that's Marty Herney. You know, if there's going to be fire in the fireplace to stoke it, maybe it's not going to be Ron Rivera, but is it going to be Marty Herney that's going to maybe want, you know, that's going to drive Cam to really, really try to deliver the goods?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I've known Marty personally for a long time. When he was the general manager the first time, when he wasn't the general manager, and then when he became general manager again. And I've known him for a long time, and you know, he left his mark on this franchise, some in good ways and a lot in bad ways, with draft picks and contracts. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens with that. You know, he is up with the Washington football team now, so we'll see. But it's Yeah, you know, that's the thing, because, you know, it was with Marty Herney, you know, where he was let go. So that's, you know, where that let him go, although that was probably more of a yeah. Matt Rhule and David Tepper thing. But, yeah, I mean, that's – there are, you know, there are only 18 players here that played for the Panthers when Cam was here. I mean, that's how much turnover.
Wow, that's really incredible. That's on a 53-man roster. That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So again, so that's how many people have changed in just 2 years. So, yeah, you know, there are some people, there are a lot of fans who are not, who have never been fans of Marty Herney, I can tell you that. Yeah. But they're going to announce the offense when they do the pregame introduction, so Cam will get his standing ovations. And then on top of that, you know, Ron Rivera, I'm sure, will get a nice round of applause as well, because, mm-hmm. you know, even people who were never big, big fans of Ron Rivera, you know, just absolutely know that he's a super nice guy.
Right. Yeah, as you two sang, it's a sort of homecoming. You know, I mean, that's...
It really is. He and his wife, Stephanie, are going to be here. And, you know, Stephanie, they were really big in the community, huge in the animal shelter, huge in charities. So, yeah, this is going to be a big deal for them. And, you know, Ron said yesterday to the media, hey, I'm going to let Stephanie handle all the people trying to reach out and get in contact with us and saying hi and thank you and everything else. Because he said, I've got a game I've got to concentrate on.
Great stuff. Looking forward to the game, obviously, this weekend. We got another day of the work week. It'll be tomorrow. We'll probably talk a little bit more about this. But let me just credit Brett Jensen. He is truly the double-triple threat, the triple-double threat. I mean, he's working the school meeting last night. He's working this today, bringing all the latest, best information to this audience, and we certainly appreciate you making time for us.
Anytime, Brett. I appreciate it.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. We just had Jeff come by with his son. Very nice man. Came by. He's a fan of the show. Came by to say hello. Wanted to check us out and see what's going on. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, do you know who's on the phone? That's right. It is, ladies and gentlemen, Jim. Jim joining us.
Sir.
Jim, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on is we're going to bring back the pink Cadillac, sounds like to me. Boomer's all into it.
Boomer's been talking about you driving all around town in a pink Cadillac. That's right. That's right.
Should we give the listeners a recap of how this got started, about how he used to drive around to promote the station 40 years ago in a pink Cadillac?
Is that true? It was a different station. That's a different station.
No, well, maybe so, but it was on Bo Thompson's show that he was telling about his exploits as a young man.
Look at this. Boomer.
Yes.
Boomer, don't sleep in the same place two nights in a row, because Jim is tracking you. Jim's got you tracked.
I just listened to Bo's show one time, and Boomer was on it. What do you mean?
My Lord. Look at this. Okay, so you see what's going on. He's collecting intelligence. Were you in naval intelligence? Is that what's going on here? Let me ask you a question there, Jim. Let me ask you a question. I am looking at some really beautiful automobiles, and it's really incredible to see these things at the Charlotte Auto Show. I mean, some really incredible automobiles. And I sit back and I think, with such sadness, how many of the other automobiles that are out there on those ships that want to come in and go home with people, and they're lonely, they're stranded out at sea, there off the coast of California, where, who knows, you may not even be allowed to have a car soon, given the policies, the crazy policies. What's going on with that?
Right, exactly. The goal, the objective, to make the options and prerogative for the consumer to be as narrow and constricted as possible, so that you only have one choice. Ultimately, what they really want you to do is be able to just buy and own, at least from the government, an electric Trabi. That's the ultimate goal. They don't. When you have a prolific, dynamic, free enterprise system, you have all these wonderful choices and ideas and competition going on. Right? And here's a story for you, Brent.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you a story?
You may, of course.
The Mustang. You're at a car show. The 64 Detroit Car Convention. The Mustang was introduced by Ford. Lee Iacocca had to have a competitive design that was going to exceed the Corvette for a family-sized economy sports car that Dad liked, but was still good for the family, right?
Right, right.
So he spent, to the nines, he spent all of most of the budget designing the body. They had the body, they sat there, and they looked at the body, and they said, okay, we need a chassis, and we only have 2 weeks to get to the show. So as a Hail Mary, because it would take too long to design and fabricate a new chassis, they put it on the Falcon chassis. They laid it down on the Falcon chassis and looked at it and went, it's perfect, except for the rear wheels need to have, they were too set in too far in the well.
Mm-hmm.
So they took and they made hub adapters. They put hub adapters on it, and it looked beautiful. It was perfect. So they got it to the car show. They waxed it up. They put the model in front of it. They're ready for the doors to open in about 2 hours. All of a sudden, the wheels collapsed. The hub adapters collapsed, and the thing's sitting on the floor and the rear axle. They panicked. And this is a story that's so good about the parameters of success and failure.
Yes.
They went back to the loading dock. They found some cinder blocks. They went into one of the rooms of the convention center, ripped down the curtains, put the blocks up, lifted the car up, put the carpets on top of the cinder blocks, put the wheels back on, and had the model stand right in front of the rear wheel for the whole show. By the end of the day, by the time the doors closed at that show, they had 30,000 orders for the Ford Mustang.
Wow.
They knew they had a winner then, and they went from losing everything from their engineering, from their, you know, ingenuity trying to get it there, to the most successful car design of all time. That's what American ingenuity would do for you. That's what competition's about. That's what free enterprise is about. And that's the spark and the vision and the passion of every American that wants to sit in the driver's seat. That's what they're trying to take away. So,
you know, it's such an important point, Jim, because if you think about what the alternative is, the alternative was the Trabant. You know, in East Germany, and the Yugo in Yugoslavia. You're 100% right. That's American ingenuity. That's stick-to-itiveness and refusing to fail. Great story, a great motivational tale for everybody out there. Appreciate you being out there. That's Jim checking in. What are you up to? 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Coming up, we got a terrific guest.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Just coming up, News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show live at the Charlotte Auto Show. We are at the convention center, and we are thrilled to be spending our time here today. We're looking at some amazing vehicles, and we've got so many knowledgeable people walking around here talking about all the different products that are available. It's really incredible, and when you consider how much time you can save, because you come in here, you look at these vehicles, you've got all of the information like you'd expect at a dealership, and you've got all of the models and the makes all in one location. It's absolutely fantastic, and I'm so happy to welcome to the program somebody who is really instrumental in bringing this to fruition, and it is Jen Jackson. Nice to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It is great to be here. It's great for you to be here with us. So tell us a little bit about the challenges in bringing this together, given all the craziness that we've had for the last year or so.
Well, first of all, we are just so happy to be back open. We haven't had an auto show in 2 years, but yes, there's definitely some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly COVID is a challenge.
Sure.
And then the chip issue, the supply issue.
Right, right.
You know, I've joked, if you see a girl that is skipping around here with a giant smile, pointing at every car going, miracle, 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 that's me. And it truly is. I mean, if you have driven down the, you know, Independence Boulevard and looked at our dealers, you know, that their lots have suffered through all of this. Mm-hmm. And just like I was telling somebody, I went to go Thanksgiving shopping and I can't find cranberry sauce. I mean, the supply chain issue doesn't just affect our dealers. It affects everywhere. But is pretty awesome that we have an entire show floor that is full of vehicles right now for the consumers to be able to experience.
And it's incredible because you've got something for everybody here, from exotics all the way to very, very basic models that'll certainly make your kids happy if they're going off to college or getting a first car. I mean, really, it's an incredible array of vehicles here.
Yes. So the best way I can describe what's happening here at the show and what our goal is we tell people this is the one time of year where you can come and experience all these vehicles all in one space, contrast and compare, and it's in a low-pressure environment. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, you're a car aficionado, I mean, this is it. This is the one time to do it, and especially now more than ever, this is the time to do it.
And in addition, you're doing drives as well, correct?
Yes, so we have some test drives going on. So Ford is doing test drives, Chevy's doing test drives, and for the first time ever, we have some EV test drives going on.
That's amazing.
That's very cool.
Look, you hear about EVs at every possible term. It's incredible to see just what in the last couple of years, how big they have gotten, how they've exploded on the scene. And, you know, it's a really good alternative and an option for pretty much everybody.
Absolutely. So we knew this was really important for our dealers and certainly important for the consumers to be able to experience electrification. So we built an area called Electric Avenue, which is brought to you by Duke Energy. Mm-hmm. And this is a great place for you to go and experience these electric vehicles, what's available, some of these vehicles in the market. And then Duke Energy has built this really cool EV garage where you can learn about how to charge your vehicle at home and how an EV might work for you and for your family. And then right there, you can sign up to go take one of those EVs for a test drive as well.
It's the first time you ride in an electric vehicle. It's a very interesting experience.
I have to tell you, so yesterday I was helping to move some of these EVs, and I literally was having to YouTube and how to start and park some of these vehicles. I have to admit, I have no pride.
No, that's okay.
They're so technologically advanced and such beautiful cars and such amazing vehicles. And I tell you what, I mean, it is something else. All of these vehicles are like that, but when you really get in the EVs, there's something else.
They sure are. In fact, Pete Callender and I were talking earlier. I was kind of cross-talking with him on his show. These are very beautiful vehicles, too. There was a time when there was a lot of homogenous kind of a look, but there is something for everybody here, and these are really cool-looking cars.
They really are. They're really beautiful, and, you know, I think you're right. You would kind of walk from one space to another, and you're like, oh, my gosh, they kind of all look the same. Mm-hmm. And really, you can walk. There's a pure distinction between each space that's happening here. The colors are so different.
Without a doubt.
And the feel, it's more of a feel when you walk from space to space of really starting to recognize the difference of what's happening between the different brands.
And you've got sedans, you've got hatchbacks, you've got SUVs, you've got pickups, you've got vans, I mean, service vans and things like that. I mean, so there's something for everybody. And the beautiful thing is these are all for sale, right? I mean, these are vehicles that are available
yes.
to the public.
Yeah, I mean, you can't buy them off the floor, obviously,
right.
We would love for you to come, find what you like, and then go back and visit one of your area dealers.
Right, which is a huge opportunity because you're walking one giant lot and you're getting a look at them. And you know what's it's tricky? I notice people are taking pictures because they want to remember, oh, wait, I liked that one. Let me go back and look at that. And really incredible. When do you all have to start? So we're going to get through this, right? We're going to have an amazing weekend and a celebration and people are going to love being here. And then what? When do you start planning for the next one?
I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to take a really long nap. I have a little glass of wine.
Very nice.
But after that, you know, we really start planning, honestly, almost immediately after.
Right,
You know, it is a long process. I sort of joke, it's like planning 24 weddings all at once on one day. It's so true.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Jen Jackson, it's just phenomenal. I'll give you a final word here in terms of the folks. I'm encouraging everybody to come on down here and check this out. It's an amazing auto show. It is so hands-on. People are having a blast. We're watching, you know, dozens and dozens and hundreds of people here on the floor. But your closing pitch on that.
Oh, well, again, we're just so happy to be here. So glad to be opening this back up. There's something for everybody.
Absolutely.
And it's great for the kids. Kids 12 and under are free. Kids love cars, too, just
gosh.
We do.
Absolutely.
I know so many people who grew up here. We've got wonderful things going on with the kids with the first responders. We have the Wienermobile here today and tomorrow. And, you know, we just would love to have you come down and enjoy this with us. And, again, watch for the girl who's smiling big and skipping down the aisle.
Great stuff. Appreciate you being here, my friend.
Thanks, Brett.
It's wonderful to have you here. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
WBT, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It's the Brett Winterbull Show. We are live at the Charlotte Automotive Show. Thanks so much for Jen Jackson coming by and letting us know all the stuff that's going on here. And folks, I'm telling you, it's really incredible. For nearly 10 years, the Charlotte Auto Show has supported the area of YMCAs to send kids from fragile neighborhoods to summer camps, allowing them to participate in sports teams and develop leadership skills and enjoy a safe place to go after school. And did you know that when you buy tickets here, you're going to be helping to contribute to that effort for strong kids and families? And by the way, it happens to be one of the coolest things that you can do with your kid is come on out and check out the cars, because TJ can attest, he's sitting here with me. Josh is back at the home base. The young people, and I don't mean to say like youngsters, like we're old, but you know, you're seeing preteens, teenagers who are very excited. And imagine what they have seen in terms of technological change and that they're going to see in the next 5, 10, 15 years, TJ.
There's no cassette players in these cars.
There is. That's absolutely true. There is no cassette players. In fact, in many of them, there's no CD players even. It's all just Bluetooth.
Bluetooth, not even an aux cord.
That's exactly right. You have that. Well, because, you know, the aux cord, you end up with the crackling with that eventually. That's the tricky
connection.
Thing. Well, I will give you a small piece of advice. My wife and I had two cars that were made by the same company. And if we parked next to each other, and she was on a Bluetooth call and I was on a Bluetooth call, sometimes my call would go to her car and I would be talking to somebody and she would drive and like kidnap them down the road. And whoever I was talking to, they would suddenly appear on her phone and they'd be like, "So you want to go ahead and set up that meeting there on Thursday?" And my poor wife would be like, I'm not, how am I supposed to answer this now? Because they're going to be like, "Who is this?"
Yeah.
"Well, who is this?" So what's good is you want to like change to make different passwords. Don't make everything like default and FIDO.
Right.
Like, or 1111 is your password.
Oh.
Don't do that. Or 0001.
Busted.
Don't do that. Be fancy. Come up with a fancier kind of approach.
1110.
1110 is good. That's right. Or password is password, but without a P, it's like I don't know. It's an R. Rasword. that's like a terrible word. I mean, how do you use rasword instead of password? Let's talk to Bob, who's up next. Bob, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir? Bob. Oh, Bob. I'm sorry about that, my friend. George. Hello, George. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
What's
up? How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm just calling in about the Durham investigation that's going on, and I don't hear much talk about it, even on WBT. Are you talking much about it?
Well, the thing is, there aren't daily developments. Like, so unlike, say, the Rittenhouse trial, where you've got ebbs and flows and stories changing every day, most of what Durham is doing is behind closed doors. And we did cover last week the indictments of the characters that were taken down, including Deschenko, the writer of the dossier. So as those stories appear, we do talk about them, but he moves in such secrecy and with such mysterious ways that you know we can't go every single day with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I understand. There've been a lot of promises, you know, and then like, when's he going to deliver? So people have gotten a little bit off track, but they're with him. But he is delivering some stuff at this point that
is
definitely a dagger at the heart of the Democrats and at the Hillary. Mm-hmm. He's indicting people who are lying, you know, that are the primary movers and shakers in Russian hoax.
Now, isn't it interesting, George, when you think about the current state of affairs with this story, right? You have an accusation that the current former president of the United States would not accept the results of the election. But did we not see that come from Hillary Clinton before it ever came from Trump? And did we not see that the collusion accused of existing between Trump and Putin was actually writ large by Schiff and company? I mean, so it's one of these things where you're accusing people of the sin you've committed.
Yeah, oh, that's exactly the way you describe it. You know, is the Democrats accuse the Republicans of doing exactly what they are doing. So you had Hillary financing this guy who's doing this Steele report, who's leading the FBI and so forth, you know, and that's exactly what's happening there.
It's a good...
Now, here's my question.
Sure.
On this is like, what do you think? I'm like, what should we demand of those people on the left that have totally bought into the Russian hoax, you know, in the way of an apology? How do we correct this situation? That's what I want to know.
You can't. No, you can't. And that's the reality is the damage is done. And unfortunately, I'm going to use the occasion of your call to swerve into something here, as Rush would say, once upon a time, in the beginning of this next hour, because I think it's important. I heard something that Jesse Kelly said last night that I disagree with. And I'm going to talk about my take on what he said. He essentially said last night, he was talking to Tucker Carlson, but I've heard him say this on his show, on TV and also on his radio show, where his contention is that what needs to happen in our country is red state people need to go to the red states and blue state people need to stay in the blue states, and never the two shall meet. I think that is a mistake.
That's
That is a mistake, and that is a recipe for balkanization. And so I am going to talk about that at the beginning of this next hour. I appreciate you coming by, George. It's wonderful to talk with you, and please call again. That's George checking in. Now, we're going to be here for another hour. If you're in the neighborhood, if you're in Uptown, if you're near Uptown, stop on by. We're at the Charlotte Auto Show, and incredible vehicles you can see, touch, sit in. There's nothing like the smell of a brand new vehicle, by the way. It's just absolutely fantastic. Before you French fry it out and you bring in home pizza and it gets embedded in the leather, you know, you get and sit in these new vehicles, and they're beautiful. I'm looking at Kias. I'm looking at Fords. I'm looking at Chevys. I'm looking at some of those that I need commas in my paycheck to pay for over there, but they're pretty nice. Corvettes. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. Kids, it's fun for all ages. We got kids. We got adults. We got big kids. We got little kids. You got snacks over here. So if you're listening in the car with your mom and dad, tell them to take you over to the Charlotte Auto Show. And especially if you're around in the next hour, come on by, say hi. You can see us here at the table, and we're looking forward to it. This is going to be a great event. It already is. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. We are live at the Charlotte Auto Show. We are at the convention center. It is wonderful to be here. We've got so many great people who are walking around here. And if you've got time, head on over. Say hello. We'll be here for the next hour. It's me and TJ, and we've got our good friends from FNZ here as well, and Mix. And it's the whole team. We're all spending time, and it's a wonderful place to be, looking at amazing automobiles, by the way. And they have done such a great job putting on this show. The inventory here is second to none. You've got everything from sedans and hatchbacks to exotics, trucks, vans, you name it. You can look at it all. You can get all the details, all the information, and then head on over to the dealership and explore even more. But what's beautiful about being here right now in this place is the fact that you can see all of it in one place at the convention center. Come by, say hi. We'd love to see you. Last night, I was listening to a conversation that Tucker Carlson was having, but I've heard this before in the past from Jesse Kelly as well, and I wanted to get into this because I think it's an important point. Jesse Kelly said, to paraphrase, he said, when you look at the direction that this country is going, it is vitally important for the red state people to go to the red states and the blue state people to stay in the blue states. He said red state people are not safe in blue states or blue cities, and blue city people really, you know, they're going to want to bring their terrible politics into the red states and the red cities. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist of what was said. In fact, I was trading texts earlier today as I was coming into the car show with a good friend of mine, and we text frequently with each other, and he said to me something very, very similar. He said, you know, at some point, please remind all these blue state refugees that have come now into the Carolinas, North Carolina, South Carolina, please remind them not to vote for higher taxes. You know, my customers and clients, they're all from New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California, and without question, one of the reasons they say they moved here is because of taxes. And I think that's exactly right. It's my friend Joe who sent that to me. But this is the thing I want to talk about that's hugely important. I believe that every opportunity you have to interact with people, you have the opportunity to persuade them. And so in the great spirit of what talk radio is, in the great spirit of what, you know, what Rush did for all those years and what so many other great talk radio hosts, conservatives and libertarians and those folks have gone to in terms of the argument, I think it is vitally important to engage with people who may disagree. People who may be persuadable, people who you can persuade. It's why I take my time out and I take calls from folks from the entire ideological spectrum. The one thing, TJ's here with me today at the auto show, the one thing I do not do is screen out ideological, I don't say no liberals, no moderates, no, I just want to make sure you're going to come on. We're going to have a conversation. You're not going to drop words that shouldn't be dropped on the radio because we don't want to get in trouble. And we want to keep it, you know, back and forth. Will it get heated? Of course it may get heated, but that's not bad. That's not bad. With heat comes light. And that's an important thing. And we have to always remember when we're interacting and we're talking about politics or issues or culture or any of that sort of stuff, at the end of the day, you're going to have your opinion. I'm going to have mine. Our opinions are all on the same, you know, general spectrum. We get to vote and then we wait and see what the results are going to be. But the idea that, well, I'm going to pick up my ball and I'm going to go to a red state and I'm not going to interact with people who are from blue states or blue state people or any of that sort of stuff, I think you're surrendering, and I don't mean you, I'm talking about the general you in that argument, you're surrendering an opportunity to persuade people. Sometimes people can be persuaded with simple explanations. They may have a fact wrong, or they may have misheard something, or they may have come to believe something that's really not true. There is a lot more common ground, I think, and that's one of the things I'm so proud about being at WBT with, because this is a very smart audience, but it is also a discerning audience, and it's an audience that takes in new information, new content, things like that, because stuff changes every day. Doesn't mean your core values change every single day, but you're going to get new information. There's definitely stuff that I believed 20 years ago that I have edited between then and now. I've gotten new information. I've had a different sort of a take on things. Many times, the example that's given, and it's almost cliche in many ways, is this idea that, I'm pro-choice. Well, okay, you're pro-choice. That's fine. You're pro-choice. But the minute you hold that baby in your arms that doctor hands to you after that baby is born, your whole perspective on life will change. And that's true for anything. It's not just true for the birth of a child. It's true for the business you start. And when it starts to get successful and you start to get regulated and you start to get hit with heavy taxes and you get all that sort of stuff, these are all opportunities for engagement. And so any chance I get to go out and see people in person, any chance I get to speak with groups, any chance I get to take phone calls from people, my choice is always engagement. It's always because here's the dirty little secret on persuasion is almost nobody has a conversation with you and then drops down onto their knees and says, "You have won me over." You know, like, you know that song, I know, Brett, I think maybe it's either Brett Jensen or Bo Thompson or TJ's got it as the ringtone on their phone. The Alanis Morissette song, "You've Already Won Me Over," right? "I've Fallen Head Over Heels." That's it.
It's my song.
I'm sure it's not Josh. It might be Josh. But it's what nobody gets down and goes, "TJ, I'm so sorry for disagreeing with you and doubting you. I now put upon my body the armor of your argument to keep me safe." No, it doesn't work that way. It does not. But what happens is you put a little, you pull the pin a little bit on the idea grenade, and you go, "You know what? Let me tell you something. Think about it. A flat tax would be good for you. You'd only pay 6%, or a consumption tax would be good for you because you'd only have to pay sales tax, and everything else would be your money. And you want to really tax the rich? Consumption tax. All those jets, Ferraris, all that sort of stuff. That's how you get even with the super rich guy." But what I'm saying is, I think now is the time more than ever to engage, and not even in 2022. It's now, because you got a window, you got an on-ramp, you've got a runway. I'm an analogy guy today. It's ridiculous. But that's what you have. And so that's just my response to what I heard from Jesse Kelly. And I wanted to issue a response in that regard. 704-570-1110 for you to give us a call and check in. Let us.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
What you're thinking about. News Talk 1110 993 WBT, Brett Winterville Show, live from the Charlotte Auto Show. TJ's here with me at the on the floor as we are sitting directly across from a bunch of really awesome vehicles. And we have a very awesome guy coming up here right now, and it is Bo Thompson, proprietor, host of the Bo Thompson Morning Show. Hello, Bo Thompson. How are you?
I'm good. So I want to know, any DeLoreans around the house there?
No DeLoreans. Nicely played. Nicely played indeed. No, there are none. But there are
some sweet rides.
There are Ferraris.
We got Ferraris. My buddy Tom Blocker was talking to me about them the other day, and Jen Jackson, who used to work at One Julian Price Place and now heads up the auto show there, has done just a tremendous job. So great.
Absolutely, and tons and tons and tons of BT fans coming by, saying hello. Pete was here earlier, and Vince. I think Vince was here before Pete. And you know, Bo, it's a great show, as you well know, and it's always cool to see the new inventory that's coming out. You know what I'm saying? It's a really cool thing. I want to ask you a question based on a piece of news that moved today. So people who were watching the Rittenhouse jury stuff earlier today, about 1 o'clock this afternoon, they had a moment where the judge was speaking with the attorneys, and the judge came out and said, bottom line, here's the deal. Bottom line, we caught somebody last night who was trying to track the jurors to their location. And what happened last night was they were apparently trying to photograph these jurors. They ran a red light. They were caught by the cops. They were allegedly affiliated with MSNBC and NBC News. And the judge very, very calmly said, "I'm bouncing them from the trial. They're not going to be able to cover the story today till we get to the bottom of this." MSNBC is banned. And I guess by extension, NBC News is banned. So, you know, here we have this situation. You've covered a lot of big stories. I've covered a lot of big stories. I could never in my mind imagine going and trying to stalk a juror or the jury to figure out who they are. I mean, that is so beyond the pale of decency.
I've been following this story today, and I was just, you know, scanning the headlines before I came on with you, and predictably, MSNBC is denying that it happened.
Right.
Look, if it did happen, and they don't lead their newscast with this, Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. And as you say, by an extension, I mean, I know it's MSNBC extension NBC, but you and I both know it's under the NBC umbrella. That's where it all leads back to. If this is true, it's one thing to be bounced from the trial for a day. They should be bounced, period, and they should have to own it on their own newscast, not only at night but in the morning. You know, because that makes a mockery of everything you and I and everybody else who does this that we do on a daily basis. And
absolutely,
you can go down. Some places skew to the right, some places skew to the left. That's the reality of media in 2021. But this is beyond the pale of anything I've ever seen, like you said. And if it's true, they better own it.
And the reality of this is, ideology aside, and even trying to chase a story aside, okay, because we're old enough to remember that once upon a time they were chasing a story and it ended up with a dead princess from Great Britain in a tunnel, okay? So yes, you can have very aggressive reporters pursuing the story. But what I will not accept in any way, shape, or form is the idea that you're going to go stalk these 18 people, the alternates plus the jurors, and these are people who are moms and dads. They're Bo, they're Brett, they're our neighbors, they're our friends, they're retirees, they're our parents, who have nothing that they have done wrong other than answer the jury summons. And the fact that you're going to try to either imply that you're going to out them, out their families, show up at their houses, there has to be a sanction for this. I don't know what it would be, but I would hope that Merrick Garland, if he's as concerned as he is with parents showing up at school board meetings, would maybe get involved and make a phone call to the president of NBC News and say, what the hell are you doing pulling this?
Well, and back to what you were talking about yesterday with this story about the FBI and keeping tabs on school board meetings. If they're going to do that, and they're not going to do an investigation about this, something is wrong.
Yep.
And I would hope that everybody on either side of the aisle and every single organization would rally around the calls of making sure that this gets called out and investigated to the point. And look, like I said, the last I saw is they're denying it. And if it ends up not being true, that is what it is. I mean, I'm concerned by the story. And you are too, I can tell by listening to your show today, and all of us are in the media, I would think, who believe in what we do. If it's true, then there should be some consequences. Maybe it's not true, and honestly, I hope it's not true, because if it is true, it's a sad commentary.
And if it is not true, I will say we were mistaken, or we had bad information, or the judge needs to apologize, whatever it is. But I find it very interesting, though, that this story moves in the way it just did. Finally, one of the things that you and I talked about when I first got here in early in late February of 20, and we had the lockdowns kick in and we had COVID and we had all the challenges that we have. We were looking to that day when we would be able to go to events. We've got football, we've got theater, we've got comedy shows, we've got bars and restaurants open, and now we've got the Charlotte Auto Show. I'm obviously a newbie coming here, but this I think represents a real sign of progress, and it happens to be Heroes Day today, and in our next segment we're going to visit with some of these heroes that keep us safe, but it's got to be a good feeling to see us moving, at least in this holiday season, towards more normalcy, Bo.
Absolutely, and the auto show is a perfect event. I mean, back on July 4th, we were optimistic that was the end of the line. It wasn't.
Right. But I
feel sort of the same way. I mean, Sky Show on July 4th was symbolic, and this the auto show is one of those Charlotte institution events that, when the auto show is back, and it brings a lot of different people together. You just said it a few minutes ago. You've got Mix, and you've got FNZ, and you've got BT, all three of us there. We're all under one roof, but it's not often you have an event that brings all three of us together at the same time. And I think that's pretty cool, and it reinforces what the auto show is.
Absolutely. Who you got coming up tomorrow, my man?
Hey, tomorrow we have Charlotte's most beloved, John Hancock, in the house. And, it's appropriate that I say this in the Crossing the Stream segment, but tomorrow opening up in theaters is this Ghostbusters Afterlife movie. And my longtime movie critic, Sean O'Connell, will be with me at 7:20 from Cinema Blend to break it on down. He's seen it, and from what he's telling me, If you didn't like the one that came out a few years ago with the all-female one, which mm-hmm. I thought was okay, by mm-hmm. the way, mm-hmm. this one really connects to 1984, and you got Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and the gang in there, so he'll give us his review tomorrow at 7:20.
All right, I'm checking it out. I'm also checking out Rocky. I changed my mind.
Rocky IV, the director's cut.
Yes, sir. Bo Thompson, enjoy your night, my friend.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I must break you.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull here at the Charlotte Auto Show, and it is wonderful to be here. We've met so many terrific people, and we've got some true heroes in our midst here. From the Charlotte Fire Department, we've got Rick Dunton, who is joining us here, and we've got that is a beautiful, beautiful doggy right there named Cat. Is that correct?
That's Cat. That's Fire Dog Cat.
Fire Dog Cat, and we got Blaze in the house. It is so great to be here with each and every one of you. Now, Cat is a very special member of the fire department. Talk a little bit about who Cat is and what Cat does.
Yeah, sure. So Cat is our first therapy dog. She splits her time between education, community engagement. That's what we're doing out here. We're hanging out, just meeting people, making people feel good. We teach every third grade school in the city. Mm-hmm. She teaches fire safety. She'll stop, drop, and roll. She'll crawl low under heat,
wow.
Feel a door. She'll do all that. But then the other half of her job, equally as important, if not more, is that she's actually certified as a therapy dog.
Oh.
So we work with our peer support team. As you can imagine, our members, sometimes we see some stuff that's sometimes hard to deal with. And Charlotte Fire has gotten really progressive with how to process that, how to have a positive conversation about mental health, mm-hmm. and Kat is another resource for that, for just helping people feel good.
And now you've had Kat since she was a puppy, right?
Yes, I had her since she was about 18 weeks old. She came to us after 10 weeks of training with Sit Mean Sit in Manassas, Virginia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we've had her since then.
Now, it's interesting because I made the assumption, obviously, when you said a therapy dog, I'm thinking there's a fire, you're comforting kids. But this is about comforting and relieving stress with those folks that are on the front lines, the fire personnel that are out there doing, and law enforcement personnel as well that are out there on the front lines.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think when we first tell them what she does. I mean, they automatically assume we're taking her into hospitals and, mm-hmm. and helping out other people. And that's all great, and that's great work, and there's people that work with that. We're not opposed to doing that, but our first mission is actually to our own members, just taking care of our first responders.
Now, so will she travel house to house? Is that how that will go, or will they come and see her?
So, believe it or not, in our first year, the Charlotte Fire has 43 fire stations right now, mm-hmm. Soon to be 45.
Wow.
And three shifts for each one of those stations,
wow.
And we visited every station, every shift within our first year.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, we were very busy.
And in addition, you've also got law enforcement as well that may be visiting with her as well.
Yep, we've been out to the law enforcement center. We'll go out and visit wherever we can. She was actually with me when we did a drone class when we were getting those resources for the department.
Wow.
And we partnered with CMPD on that, and she loves our law enforcement.
That's great. That is such a special thing. She is, I can testify, it's late in the day, and she is as patient and kind and just gentle as can be. She's an absolute beauty. I snapped a picture. We're going to be putting it up over at the WBT website so people can take a look at her. And of course, we got Blaze here as well. Blaze, that's a heavy task you got right there, my friend. Blaze is a full-sized version of Cat, a Dalmatian, of course, as you would expect in the fire department. He's Blaze number one, Charlotte, and he just had a very beautiful little Santa hat on his head. Let me ask you this, Rick, in terms of the support that you're getting in the community and that sort of stuff, everybody loves the firefighters. Everybody wants to help them out and be with them, but they've also got to do their part too, right? Especially coming into this holiday season, they got to be cautious. They got to use good common sense, because we don't want you guys having to go out on a whole bunch of calls.
You know, if you're going to give me the chance to say it, I'm going to say it. Absolutely. So the holiday season is when we see the highest number of fires. People are trying to get together and cook and have meals and great times together, and we want you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't want is for people to have these cooking fires, because they start cooking, they leave the room, they get busy doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one cause of fire. It's the number one cause of people losing their homes around the holidays, which is really the worst thing. Strongly advise people, stay in the kitchen while you're cooking. Make sure you're paying attention to that stuff. And please, please, please keep the kids and pets 3 feet away from the stove.
Yep, absolutely. You don't want to have a tragedy with what should be a great celebration. And I imagine when you go out to those schools and you talk to those third graders with the fire safety, you've now got a whole bunch of helpers going home to help reinforce that message to mom and dad.
That's exactly what we tell them. We tell them, you know, our third grade fire safety program, we actually had a student a couple years ago, or a student who we taught a couple years ago, this past spring, she had a fire in her apartment.
Oh, my gosh.
She used the information that she learned from us to save not only her own life, but her little brother's. So this is a tested program, and we tell the kids that, and we tell them, now it's your job. Go home and tell your family members about that. Help them be safe.
And look, we're old enough to remember when we get some of the fire safety demonstrations and things like that, a little bit less fancy schmancy, but when you've got Kat there on the scene, she's going to embed that in their minds, the different things, like you said, going, checking the heat and all that sort of stuff. That's got to be a huge help.
Absolutely. We talk about, you know, get low and go, staying low under smoke, feel indoors for heat, stop, drop, and roll, all of that. When they see the dog demonstrate that, they're going to remember that for the rest of their lives.
So wait, when they're watching her demonstrate that and they start yelling and screaming and all that, she's keeping it totally calm, keeping it totally even in the middle?
She is
a consummate
professional.
It's
unbelievable. She keeps me in line.
That's good stuff. Oh, gosh, this is terrific. Where do people get more information about the fire department, your website, things like that?
So charlottefire.org has all the information that you could possibly need. Requests for smoke alarms. We do have a smoke alarm program here where we can get a smoke alarm for you if you don't have one. Information about the dog program, how you can donate to help support that cause. All of that is at charlottefire.org.
Charlottefire.org. We hope you have a very non-busy season here, okay?
That's what
we're
hoping for.
Relax, get home, enjoy it. And, folks, if you see Kat out and about, you're going to be blown away. She's an absolute treasure, and she is somebody that is really helping to keep all of you guys on the front lines safe and secure and able to relate to her.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming by, Rick. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much, Brett.
It's wonderful to have you here, and we'll get together again. I promise you that one for sure. That's Rick Dunton.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'm Brett Witterville. News Talk, 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterville Show, live at the Charlotte Auto Show.
So here I am, slaving away in the newsroom, and you're down there playing with hot cars.
Are you kidding me? Hot cars,
yeah.
And we just had, oh my gosh, we just had a dog called Kat, a firefighter dog named Kat that is incredible.
Was it Dalmatian?
No, it looked like a white lab, maybe.
Oh, cool.
And she is, I'll tell you about it when I get back to the fort, my friend, but this right here is a story custom made for Mr. Garrison.
Oh, well, I need to find out about that then.
Yeah, for sure. I'll fill you in. I got pictures and everything.
Oh, cool.
So what do we, we got Charlotte at 6 coming up here.
Yeah.
And what do we, by the way, the Wienermobile is here.
Oh, is it really?
The Wienermobile is here.
That's like my dream job, travel America in the Wienermobile.
They got the Wienermobile. They got an old Charlotte Fire Department truck from back once upon a time.
Oh,
we got
that's
the,
cool.
You got the rescue, the search and rescue vehicles and the police motorcycle, all this stuff. So this is great stuff, my friend. It's great to be here. So what do we got coming up?
Well, Cam Newton is buying 50 tickets. Did you hear about this? For people that he hopes will show up and cheer.
How about that?
At his press conference today, he sort of made it sound like the team was drying up to he came back.
What kind of was?
But it still may be. Speaking of that, if you want a ticket, we'll tell you about some people who have been ripped off online here in Charlotte
trying
to buy off Craigslist. Yes, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Another brawl in the hall. CMS looking every day more like the WWE. This time, big fight at Mallard Creek High School. And there is still no plan to curb the violence from CMS, but the superintendent says he's committed and concerned.
Was there any satisfaction that came out of that last night, Mark?
Not one drop.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you talk to the parents, they go, yeah, when we do it. I mean, they've got some ideas, but he's turned it over to a committee. You know, he could have formed this committee 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's the truth.
No verdict yet in the Rittenhouse trial, but MSNBC, I know you've talked about it, they got smacked. They got caught trying to stalk the jury.
I mean, my gosh. You understand the reporting ethics.
Yes.
What are you? Fire rings need to happen as a result of that.
Absolutely. 6:35, Dirty Restaurant Thursday. I'll tell you about a dirty taco truck and a buffet that was so nasty, the manager just told the inspector, I don't know how to fix this mess. That's encouraging, right?
I don't know how to fix it. I just don't have the skill sets to do this.
So glad you came by and told us we're filthy, but I don't know how to fix it.
Can I be diplomatic for a moment here?
Sure.
That approach may also work on the story just prior to that story there, Mark Garris.
Yes, it might.
I don't mean to laugh, but I mean it's...
You're exactly right.
You want to get me somebody who can do this. Yeah. All right, excellent. So we're looking forward to hearing Charlotte
Thank
at 6,
you,
and I'll be back in the fort tomorrow, my
All
friend.
Right.
All right, that's Mark Garris and Charlotte at 6. Mandatory listening. You know, it's great to be here at this at the auto show here in Charlotte, and I'm telling you, tomorrow is going to be outstanding. They got these cars are great, and I know there's people out there going, all right, enough about the car. No, you got to come see these cars. Some of these are really next level. They're next level, TJ. In fact, I'm going to take my son. I'm going to go bring him, and I'm going to bring him maybe over the weekend. Well, over the weekend, I'm going to bring him here.
So. Be careful. That may cost you some money.
It's going to cost me, make me lighter in the wallet? Is that what you're telling me, my friend?
He's going to be like, you know, that old car you got me isn't going to cut it.
Well, no, go get yourself a job.
Yes.
Go get yourself a better paying job.
Finance it yourself.
You're going to finance it yourself. That's correct. I am not licensed as a bank.
Yes.
Okay? I am licensed strictly as a debtor.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes.
But it's, you know, looking at the way these stories are moving. I am going to go ahead and go out on the limb and say I believe the Rittenhouse verdict comes in tomorrow. I think it's going to come in tomorrow. I think it's going to come in tomorrow by about lunchtime. Because I think what's happening is these jurors are going to have an eye towards, oh, what's next week? Wait, we're supposed to get all of our Thanksgiving shopping done and all that sort of stuff. No. We got to hustle here. We got to move. Either it's a hung jury, either it's going to be, you know, somebody gets convinced or not. This is because I can't believe that all the possible verdicts have been reached or not reached. I imagine, like anything else, you're working on stuff. And okay, what's the easiest one we can wipe out here? Boom, this, that, not this. And this is going to be a very big test. Unfortunately, as you come into the Thanksgiving holiday, this is going to be a huge test for, for the justice system and also for the security in Kenosha. Unironically stunning and brave, Enes Kanter, you know, the basketball player for the Celtics. He is slamming LeBron James for silence on Chinese genocide. His quote, now this is pretty unusual for somebody that's going to see you probably four or five more times during the season. His silence on Chinese genocide, money over morals for the king. That is quite something. We've also got a resignation under effect here involving Kamala Harris's office. Top Kamala Harris aide announces resignation as the vice president is publicly walking back reports of infighting. Vice President Kamala Harris's communications director, Ashley Etienne, will leave her post in December. You translate this for me. To pursue other opportunities. You know, that's a big deal.
We wish you the best in your future endeavor.
That's the question. Is it a firing? Is it a resignation? You know, one of the more clever approaches I've ever heard when somebody is going to fire somebody is they'll say, we don't want to hold you back from any more opportunities, so we want to go ahead and free you up to pursue those, which is such a passive-aggressive way of doing it. It's, you know, we think you've got some really great stuff you can get done out there in Farmington, New Mexico, or Ketchikan, Alaska.
Just not here.
You know, it's we're really holding you back. And we think it's best to let you just be free. I wouldn't be able to sleep another night if I forced you to stay here.
It's me, not you.
It's me, not you. That is just the worst breakup ever. You know, you're too good for me. You're just too good for me. I can't match. What was that? That was quite a sound. I don't know what that was. I don't, TJ, you keep looking behind me, though. Okay, you keep checking my six, and see what's going on there. All right, look, this is going to do it for us here. It is great to come out here. I'm so happy we were invited to be here. I've never been to the Charlotte Auto Show. I never had the opportunity, but I have now, which is just so absolutely wonderful. And it is it's great. We've got a big show planned for you tomorrow as well. And we are going to start off bright and early by breaking down all the news that's moving from the overnight. And then we'll get into some of the stuff that we're going to pick up the pieces on from across the week itself. There's a ton of stuff that's going on out there. So thanks to TJ and Josh, of course, the great people here at the Charlotte Auto Show, all the folks here at Urban One and Radio One, and each and every one of you for spending time with us today. It has been an absolute joy and a pleasure. I am Brett Witterbull. Charlotte at 6 comes by next. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.